This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, I'm glad you've tuned us in today. I know the weather hasn't been the best, but I hope you're having a happy holiday season. So greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1 with regard to the, actually Luke chapter 2 with regard to the Lord appearing to the angels. But if you'd like to contact me, you can do that by going to my website, bdcministries.com, and you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, bdcministries.com, and you can re-listen to the program there. You can actually download it and even pass it on to others from there. And you can reach me at the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. We'd love to hear from you. Now, I said I was going to read from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, which says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this meditation from the Word of God. Now it's interesting that, if I understand it right, it had been about 400 years since the Lord had spoken through a prophet. And so there had been silence, we say, for about 400 years, even though the children of Israel were looking for a Savior. They were looking for a Messiah. Now, it's interesting, and we don't have time to go through all of this today. They were looking for one who was going to come to reign. They were not looking for one who was going to be a man of sorrows, who was acquainted with grief. They weren't looking for one who was going to die. They weren't looking for one who was going to come as a common man living in Nazareth from a gal who was the handmaiden of the Lord and definitely a sweet and a gal who apparently worshiped the Lord in truth and in spirit. But they weren't looking for him to be born in Bethlehem, even though that was predicted. They thought he should come out of Jerusalem, and so there was no beauty that they should desire him. And so they were looking for a Messiah, but they were looking in all the wrong places. But now all of a sudden these angels appear to the shepherds and announce the fact that the Lord is coming, and it's supposed to be a time of good tidings and great joy, which will be to all the people. I've often wondered just what would have happened if the children of Israel had recognized that this one that was being born in Bethlehem was in fact the Messiah, if instead of crucifying him when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, if they had crowned him as king. I've often wondered what would have happened, but of course that was not the plan. The plan was for him to be born, to prove himself to be the Son of God, and then to die. And he died again in order that we might be saved. There had to be a sacrifice that would satisfy God with regard to the sin of mankind. And individuals have to receive that sacrifice as their own personal sacrifice in order for their own sins to be put away and to have a relationship with God as one of God's children. Because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so, while joy was being proclaimed by the angels, and while we recognize that this is a joyous occasion to know that the Lord came, yet in many ways it was not a merry Christmas, because even Simeon appeared to Mary when the Lord was being baptized. Even Simeon appeared to her and said that a sword would pierce her own soul also. She was set up for a time of sorrow as well, and whether she fully understood all that was going to happen or not, she ended up being at the cross when the Lord was crucified. She was there when the wise men came and presented gold and frankincense and myrrh to the child, but she was also there when the children of Israel took him out to an old rugged cross and crucified him. And yet when he came, he said, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Wouldn't it be nice if we had peace on earth? Now that's not going to happen for a while. I believe that it won't happen until the Lord comes to reign in what we call the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. And that isn't going to come until after there's been a time of tribulation, wars and rumors of wars, and other difficulties that are going to come on this world, because not only did the Jews crucify the Lord, but so did the Gentiles. And there's going to be a reckoning with regard to what took place 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. But ultimately, people are going to recognize they crucified the Lord. And even the Jews are going to recognize that. And they're going to say why he was wounded for our transgressions, why he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And they're going to recognize when the Lord comes in, as we have recorded in Revelation 19, on the white horse, to win the final battle that is going to take place apparently at Jerusalem, when he wins that final battle and then judges the nations and sets up his earthly kingdom. That's when there's going to be peace and goodwill toward men. But what I want to emphasize this morning is while there is no peace in the world, there's the Ukrainian war. We're at war in a lot of places in the Middle East, even though they're not in the news anymore. And there's war. We're at war with each other in our own country. And while we don't have the peace that we would like to have, yet the Lord has offered us a peace. And the peace that we can have is peace with God and the peace of God. In Philippians, we read about these two kinds of peace. Peace with God. And if we really have confidence in the Lord, we can be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we can make our requests known, be known unto God, and the peace of God will dwell in our hearts. And so we can have peace. We can have peace about our sins. And so we can know that our sins are forgiven, and that no matter what happens on this earth, yet our place is reserved for us in heaven, as it says in John chapter 14. "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So I'd like to think about peace this morning. How can we get peace with God? Well, the essence of peace is, of course, found in that well-known verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, trusts him, should not perish but have everlasting life." And so when we look at the coming of the Lord at this time of the year, even though we don't know when his birthday was, we recognize that John 3:16 is the essence of why he came. And he came because God loved. God so loved the world. He didn't just love the people that believe in him. He even loves the people that don't believe in him. But unfortunately, if we don't believe in him, there are consequences. But he loved the whole world, and he's offering his salvation to the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his unique Son. He gave him. He gave the best of heaven for sinners that had been born into this world with the nature of Adam and the nature of rebellion and with the nature of wanting to make up their own minds and do their own thing. But God gave his Son, and that whosoever is the way in which we bring our own selves into the promise here. Is our name whosoever? Yes, I think it is, that if Bruce Collins believes, if you put your name in there. If you believe in the only begotten Son, you'll have everlasting life, and you'll never perish. Now, perishing, obviously, is looking at something beyond the grave, because life is looking at something beyond the grave. Everlasting life is a life that begins the moment we trust Christ for salvation, and it continues throughout the endless ages of eternity. But if we don't trust in this gift that God has given us in His Son, the end result will be to perish, and to perish means to be separated from God forever. And I don't want to go through the descriptions of the punishment that is going to be endured by those who reject this love gift by God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if He's done that for you, he is going to be greatly offended if there should be somebody who turns their back on that gift. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, that if you believe on Him, you'll have everlasting or eternal life. And you'll not come into, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And that's the promise of God. And that's the purpose of the season. There was really no real peace for Mary when the Lord was born. And obviously, as the Lord goes through His earthly ministry, there's no peace for the Lord. There were people who followed Him. There were people who believed in Him. And there were people who were blessed by Him. But the multitudes, even though they listened to Him, and even though they were fed by Him, the multitudes, by and large, did not embrace the fact that this was the one that God had given for the peace of the world, that God had given for salvation for the world. And so there was no peace for the Lord. He was despised and rejected of men. And so there was no peace for Him. And there, of course, was no peace for the martyrs in the first century church. They were persecuted first by the Jews, and they were persecuted by those who had worshipped in a pagan way. And by and large, people had rejected the idea that Christ had come and that Christ was born to save those who would trust in Him. And there will be no peace in the coming tribulation period after the Lord descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. But so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's the blessing and the hope of those of us that are alive today. The Lord is coming again. The earth has never known peace. But the Christian not only knows peace in every circumstances, but they have peace. Their future is secure. And so that's why the Lord has come. And we would just again emphasize the truth of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes or trusts in Him, doesn't just believe about Him, but believes in Him, should not perish. Think of that. You don't have to worry about ever being separated from God and suffering for your own sin, because they'll not perish, but they have everlasting life. And we just pray as you listen today that this message will bless your heart. And if you're not saved, that you'll come to trust the Lord today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless Thy word. Bless those who have listened. We thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee for Thy salvation. We thank Thee that the Lord came, and He came to offer peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.